Also, this morning, I'm preaching through Romans, and I'm in Romans 13, verses 8 through 10, on paying out a debt you owe. And you do owe it. And God wants you to pay. And God expects you to pay. In fact, He's called you to pay it. But God's already provided the resources for you to do it, so don't worry. Your part is to do something with it, though. And this is in Romans 13, 8 through 1, and I'm going to read verse 7 down. Paul urged, pay to all what is due to them, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due. Now keep that in mind, because Paul says next in verse 8, which is our primary passage, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Prepare your heart for this sermon. Love is the debt to keep on paying. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask that you bless us with this truth to become internalized and to be expressed outwardly. And I ask that you help me to preach accurately, and also, Father, for us to learn the various things that come out in this passage concerning what it is and what it's not, and to help us to even understand your Bible better as we've been going through Romans and getting so much from Paul concerning the Old Covenant and the New. Solidify this, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I get into this sermon on our responsibility, I want to start out covering what this does not mean. Very important. Paul said, owe nothing to anyone. I don't know if you've ever had anybody quote this verse to you, but a cursory reading of owe nothing to anyone has led some to think this is against borrowing money. But Paul's not teaching against borrowing money. This is not a teaching against things like that, having like a charge account, financing a house or a car, anything like that. There are people, I've met them, they've talked to me. They say this verse means that. I will say that I agree with this part. It's generally wise to avoid getting into debt because of interest payments. And there's also something to the truth in Proverbs 22:7 that we need to really keep in mind, that the borrower is slave to the lender. So if you borrow, you're going to be a slave. But Paul had a completely different point here. And the problem is that there are ways to look at his wording wrongly. And so if we understand, there's different ways we can understand how this is looked at. Paul said, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Now, you can read this as paying back love because someone showed love to you first. Think about it that way. That's the way it looks like it's worded. Somebody loved me first, so I'm going to have to pay them back. Now you owe them love in return. But that's not the way this is either. It contradicts the rest of the Bible and Christian love. You're not called to love people because they love you first. But it's easy to misunderstand Paul's wording, and this is what I'm trying to get at right now. Another reading illustrates the problem. You could read, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, as meaning you always owe them love, but you never really have to give it. One way to look at it. I mean, just look at the wording. But that's also wrong. And so my point is that the same kind of mistake happens in thinking that Paul said, don't borrow money here. Now, the context, like usual, fixes everything. When Paul said, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, Paul used the exact same Greek word he just used in verse 7 when he said to pay to all what is due to them, what is owed them. Due and owe, same Greek word. Taxes to whom taxes are due, owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. And so the contextual flow is owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, as a contrast to paying set money amounts of money due to government. Paul purposely contrasts that with what you do with love. Now, what do you do with love? Well, tax payments fulfill set demanded obligations. If you default the tax that's due, the revenue, you get penalized. When you pay in full, you're cleared. You're done, at least until next year. But with love, you get a deep insight to guide your life. And this is what it is. God wants you to love, always owing everyone love as if you cannot love enough. You see, love is always due. It's never cleared. So you're always required to keep on paying. God wants you to give love without strings attached. God wants you to give love like you never think you're finished loving. It's a very high demand. And that's why the law of love is higher than any law. Do love things to those here, those around you, thinking that you've not yet paid it out, like you fulfilled some sort of obligation and now you're finished. This is what we're looking at. So when Paul said, owe nothing to anyone, he meant make sure that you pay what is due, taxes, revenue. But you're called to owe love to others, to keep on giving as if the love obligation is always going to be needing to be paid, like it's never, ever, ever, ever going to end. So that's when we look at this, we see this has nothing to do with borrowing money or owning a credit card or anything like that. So scratch that wrong interpretation off the confusion list if you've had it or if somebody's come to you with it. Okay, it's about ministering Christian love in a continuous flow. And so this gets me to something else this is not about. It's not about trying to come under a covenant jurisdiction which no longer exists. Now, Paul gave an illustration here on the comprehensiveness of love. And what did he do? Well, he referred back to the old law to magnify that point. But 2 Corinthians 3 and Hebrews 8 and all of 9 that we've been studying from chapter 1 all the way up to here, you know, the rest of Romans shows that the old covenant was replaced by the new. And yet we can still see the old covenant law in our Bibles as recorded words. We actually see that in our passage, some of it. And those words are in the Bible as scripture. But for us in the new covenant, those words don't form an active covenant with jurisdiction anymore. And it's for some of you, you might think, why are we even talking about that? Because it is very confusing for many, many Christians concerning what our relationship to the law is. Especially when they read a passage like this and they just see Paul saying, hey, when you do this, you fulfill the law. But we're not under that law. But the words remain for revelation, not for regulation. You may have heard me say this before. They remain for memory, but not for method for living. They remain for information, but not for confirmation, conforming your life to it. But we see what he says here. Well, the Israelites back then, being called to the new covenant, were very familiar with the old. And this is much of the audience of Romans was the Jewish converts. So in the apostles' task to explain the unique perspectives of the new covenant as our foundation, the new covenant is your foundation. Illustrating a Christian point with prophetic insight from the old covenant record sharpens the new covenant truths in practical ways. It's like a sermon illustration. So when you see an apostle's teaching flow and he's going along, he doesn't do this a lot, but you do it like in this passage, and he refers to something in the record of the older covenant and its law to expand on a point, know that it's meant to be a type of prophetic insight to help for understandability, like an analogy, an anecdote, a word picture. And here, the big deal is not wronging someone in the love aspect. The not wronging part, see, because you find that in the law, that not wronging has to do with positive actions of love. It's very interesting. And so Paul never said his audience was still under the old law, or needed to be under it, or that somehow it was revived as a jurisdiction again, especially after spending so much time saying it's not. But something just as important, Paul never said that you need ever to do things like you are fulfilling the law either. You see, the record of the Mosaic Law shows its demand and our failures while pointing to the superiority of what God is doing now in the ministry of the Spirit, what he's doing now in your life because you have the life of Christ. And Christ is the living fulfillment of the law. But Paul just spent like a baker's dozen worth of chapters explaining that you have been set free from the law. Now, thank God that you have that freedom because as 2 Corinthians 3:7-8, 2 Corinthians 3:7-8, it's not in the notes, but you might want to write it down. It explains that the Ten Commandments was the ministry of death. But your new covenant is the ministry of the Spirit, which is life. That's also in the same chapter in 2 Corinthians. So when Paul explained that loving your neighbor is doing now what it used to take to fulfill the requirements of that previous old covenant law, because you're not doing them wrong, he's explaining that you do now what you do in manifesting love is what covered everything for active righteousness going back through history. But now you love by the Spirit, not by the flesh. You seek to do no wrong to people by the Spirit. Now, Paul did the same thing in Galatians 5:13-22. He said, don't turn your freedom that you have in Christ into an opportunity for the flesh. And then what did he say? But through love, serve one another. For the whole covenant law is fulfilled in one word. He says in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So Paul did it in Galatians. He did what he did here in Romans 13. He pointed out that one word, love. And it's so important throughout all of history with God. But for you in Christ, Paul went on and he said there in Galatians 5, what did he say? He said, walk by the Spirit. And what the fruit of the Spirit is, he says, is love. So that's very beautiful there. So the old law's demand was referred to for making a point about love's enduring importance. And unlike checking off a love list of commandments in the old law and thinking, well, you know what, I did the commandments, I'm covered, you know, with that guy over there or that girl over there, or that person. I've done what it takes to love them because, you know, there's 613 laws in the old covenant. And when I look at that person, I did what I needed to do according to the 613. Well, this is different from your Christian call to always be paying and always owing as you pay, because it's the higher standard that God wants in the person Christ, not in the letter of stone or paper. So 2 Corinthians 3 and Hebrews 8, those are beautiful passages in the Bible. They clearly say the old covenant law is inferior and no longer in effect. Basically say it straight out. But the love itself, which was at the core of the old law, even at the core of what God said to Adam and Eve in the garden, the big deal, by the way, that transcends that law, you know, it's more than just a commandment, just because it was written down. It has always been God's highest standard. So for you, for me, it is uniquely Christian love by His Holy Spirit. Now, to make the abstract more concrete, Paul illustrated with an abbreviated list, okay? Four commands out of all of them from the record of the Old Covenant. Notice something, though. Then Paul says at the end of those four, what does he say? If there's any other commandment, right? And there were over 600 of them. He says, it's also summed up in this saying. One saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Because right now, he's on loving people. It's a people thing. We're going to get to loving God also, because this is really a reflection of that. Now, Paul quoted Leviticus 19:18 when he said that. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's a direct quote from Leviticus in the law. And Jesus did the same thing in his pre-cross ministry when he was under the old covenant law. Jesus was under the old covenant. He preached under the old covenant. He established the new covenant in his blood and resurrection. But when he was under the old covenant in Matthew 22:34-40, an old covenant lawyer comes up to him, comes up to Jesus, like they're always trying to do, trap Jesus. And he asked Jesus, which is the great commandment in the law of Moses? You know what Jesus did? He quoted two commandments. It's really, he's putting them together like one. But he says there's two. And you're going to see why. First, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You know what Jesus was quoting? Deuteronomy 6:5. And then Jesus said that particular one was the greatest and foremost commandment of the Mosaic Law. And then Jesus said the second's like it. He said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's Leviticus 19:18 again. And so Jesus said on these two commandments depend the whole Old Covenant Mosaic Law. All of it. That's a beautiful statement because he's giving us prophetic insights. And now for you, the new and better covenant has been established, and it depends on Christ and his love. That's what it depends on. So when you look back through history, you see that with God, love is always his golden rule that he was having covering everything. It's always been the golden rule. If you commit adultery, think about this. You're being more than immoral. When you commit adultery, you're not manifesting love for your spouse. You're not manifesting love for the one that you commit adultery with either. See how it changes the thinking? You're doing wrong to that person. Forget all the romantic junk that this culture tries to tell you. Well, that's the true love and all this. And I fell out of love with my spouse. Wrong. It's a lie from the devil. You're doing wrong. to your spouse and to that person. You're not trying to help that person to not sin. You're participating in sin with that person. See how this works? This is so different. It's so beautiful. Murdering someone, that's not loving them. Stealing from someone's not showing love for them. And with coveting, he puts coveting on here. Paul said, remember back in chapter 7, Paul uses this very interestingly. Remember back in chapter 7, he said that coveting was there in the law, and he says it was awakened, and he says, then coveting of various kinds was awakened me. So, you know, there's coveting of all kinds. Well, listen, coveting that does not love your neighbor is one of the kinds. Whoever thought that coveting doesn't love your neighbor or does wrong to your neighbor? Well, that's what Paul is saying here. It's what he said back in chapter 7. And this is the point. Coveting does not love your neighbor. And love is the reason for all of these illustrations. Not wronging them is the reason. And Paul knew that when you look at these illustrations, what you are seeing, this is so important, you're seeing the people in your love. The people. Love does no wrong to a person. See, love is what filled the law about treating people right. Now we're getting what it's all about. But also from chapter 1, Paul's been saying that through the old covenant, law is the knowledge of sin. And he said that there is also an increase. Where the law is, sin increased. Well, think about this. What do you think that did with the law command to love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind? Well, breaking it was also increased. And what about loving your neighbor as yourself? Well, breaking that was also increased. And so, see, you could even go across and be doing no wrong to your neighbor under the old covenant by looking at the laws written down and checking them off and still not be loving them in your heart. And so here the Spirit's not trying to get you under an old covenant jurisdiction which served different purposes than Christ's covenant. The old served as a tutor, leads us to Christ Jesus, right? It's a great teacher. And so now Hebrews 13:20 says, you're under the everlasting covenant. And in it, the manifestation of Christ's life is key. That's why I always have that the thing about TLC up there. It's about Him, manifesting Him. So different. It's a Holy Spirit. It's a very mystical and supernatural thing, and you have to call it what it is. Okay? That's what it is. And owing nothing to anyone except to love one another is you manifesting Jesus. But this does not mean that you are without law. Now, this is so important. You actually have a Christian love law in your new covenant. It's the law of Christ, of His new covenant. Romans 9 and Galatians 6:2 actually call it that. You can find it. It's called the law of Christ. Christ gave it as His new commandment for Christians specifically. He gave it right before He went to the cross to establish the new covenant in His blood and resurrection. And then you find it all through the New Testament scriptures written by the apostles. But you think about the apostle John when he was a disciple. He was there with Jesus the night that Jesus gave it. And so John wrote it down in John 13, 34 through 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you." John witnessed this and he wrote it down. And here's what he wrote. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." See, the newness of your commandment is starkly seen in the fact that Jesus did not say, "Love each other as you love yourself," like the old law said in Leviticus 19:18. He said, "Love each other as I, Jesus, have loved you." And in His covenant life, now Jesus makes Himself the standard of your love. And so now you actually can love people the way you love yourself in this way. The born-again, new you way. With Christ living in you the way He loves. Now that just takes the ultimate fulfillment and changes it into, it's still the life of Christ. I love the regenerated Carrie, not the old Carrie. And so I need to love other people like I love the regenerated Carrie by the Spirit. Wow! All of this is called the redemptive fulfillment. You're getting a lot of good stuff here this morning. I'm teaching you so much. And so that new love commandment Jesus gave is now our law of Christ. Take all this in and try to remember. It's going to help you when you read the Bible. So there's that law of Moses, and there's the law of Christ. And then you look in 1 Corinthians 9, 20 through 21, Paul said this about himself, Paul the Apostle, the one writing Romans 13 that we've been studying. Go to 1 Corinthians 9, 20 through 21, and here's what you find. Paul said, I'm no longer under the old covenant law. But in his evangelism tactic, what he says is he became to those who were under the old covenant law as if like he was under that law too. But he said, though he was not really being under that law himself, this is what he says. He also said, when it came to those who had never had the old covenant law, they never had it, Gentiles, he acted like he was without the old covenant law with them too. Isn't that interesting? It was evangelism tactics. But then Paul said, yeah, though all that's true, I'm not without the law of God. Wow, well, what's the law of God? So you're not without that law. What's the law of God? Well, Paul had what you have, what I have. The law of Christ in the new covenant, which exists now and forever. You are in what Isaiah 42, 1 through 6 prophesied way back 700 and something years before Christ Jesus came. And what did it prophesy? That the law of Christ was to come. That the coastlands were waiting expectantly for Christ Jesus' law. And Jeremiah 31, 27 through 34 prophesied it. And then in Hebrews 7, 11 through 12, you see the fulfillment. God says he writes it on Christian hearts, Christians in the new covenant. It says, when the old priesthood changed in Christ Jesus, of necessity there took place a change of law also. That's right there in Hebrews 7, 11 through 12. It was necessary. The law had to change. It also had to fulfill all the prophecies. Well, and it was also part of God's plan. And the priesthood changed from the Levitical of the Old Covenant law to Christ's priesthood of Melchizedek in the New Covenant with his new law. And Hebrews 8, 8 through 10 shows us that the fulfillment of Jeremiah 31, 27 through 34, and this is what it is, that the law written on our hearts now is the law of Christ, and that is his love. It's his love. God, here's what God said. He said he will establish a new covenant, that's the prophecy in Jeremiah. He says, not like the old covenant he made with the Israelite forefathers at Mount Sinai. That's in the Jeremiah prophecy. Well, this is what you have. It's not like that one that he made at Mount Sinai. And he writes it on hearts. And it says there, if you go there to Hebrews chapter 8, you can read this. When God said, this is the new covenant that I will make in those days. So when God said, I will put my law into their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more, don't look for 600 plus laws, you know, that were replaced by the covenant to be written in your heart right now and try to find them in there someplace. You're not going to look in your heart and find don't mix wool with cotton and stuff like that. You're not going to find that stuff there. But what you will find is this, Christian love. You'll find the life of Christ. So when Hebrews 8:13 says that since God was did make a new covenant, what did it say? 8:13 says he has made the old covenant obsolete. Well, he really has done this. But he did it in Christ Jesus who is alive. He is the fulfillment of the old, the establisher of the new, and he is the life that's in you. And so what this means for you is that the law of Christ, much like the old covenant law, also means loving God and loving others too. But now you love through Christ by his own spirit. The Apostle John went into great detail on this. You know, John was right there when Jesus gave the new commandment. John wrote it in John 13, 34 through 34. Later, John wrote it in 1 John 3, 23 too. And John referred to it there as the commandment with two aspects of love in it. 1 John 3, 23 says this, this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. When you believe in Jesus, you're loving Christ and God. Always know that. Believing in God, believing in Jesus is to love them. Well, look at 1 Peter 1:8. It says, you have not seen him, but you love him. You do not see him now, but you believe in him. It's because they're connected. They're married. When you believe in Christ, you're loving him. You're loving God. You're loving him as God. And then John said in 1 John 3:23, right after that, love one another just as Christ Jesus commanded us, pointing back to when he gave the command. And so the Lord's commandment is explained to you. Love Jesus by believing in him. Love one another just as Christ commanded us. This is the theme that we're always getting, even from Adam and Eve, even in the law, Romans 13, all through history. And then you even see John loves to write about this. So he got there and he wrote another epistle, 2 John, and he wrote, I'm not writing a new commandment, but the one we've had from the beginning, that we love one another. So right there is what you're supposed to do. Love one another in that special way Jesus command, which is how? As he loves you. Jesus gave his high standard in the newness of the new. And so you see, our passage is not talking about trying to get you back in there of some kind of covenant jurisdiction that no longer exists. It's about abiding in the jurisdiction you do exist in. Your call to manifest Christian love is the issue. And so this gets me to the shape of this love manifestation. What you always pay, and you need to be thinking about your relationship to other people. I need to be thinking this way. What you always pay is because it's always due, is sketched out by Paul as doing no wrong. This is what he's talking about. And this is as how God defines wrong, not how we define it. How God do no wrong to your neighbor. This call to manifest Jesus is a call to be careful, to be sensitive, to be aware. It's careful love. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says, God teaches you to love. So when the Bible says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ, you know that doing that's not doing wrong. You know, look for people around you who are burdened. Ask, how can I help? What am I doing that would be wronging that person? Ask yourself, how can I show love in action? What would I be doing that's withholding it, that's wrong? I mean, people are all around us. They're all around you. Even now, and there's people around you that are having emotional burdens that they're dealing with. They have physical problems and burdens. Careful love is making sure you're doing no wrong to them. Ask whether you're a part of what's burdening someone. Think about that. I mean, if you're the burden, then how can you help? How can you help not be the burden? That's what you need to ask and then act upon that. That's love action. Are there people that you've wronged? Well, what is the wrong? Be careful. Question, is your wrong keeping you from going to them to make it right? Because that happens. All of it changes when you go out of your way to show Christ in your thoughts and your actions. Confusion about love starts to disappear when you're very careful, when you seek to do no wrong. You might have to go the extra mile. People have love needs that you're going to have to wake up to. They're all around you, and their needs are waiting to be met, but by you. And God will show you what they are. He will. So seek to love people in deeds, in doing things. Be careful. It's easy to wrong people, but be careful not to wrong people by withholding love. So easy to do. And if they've wronged you, what God wants you to do is bring His grace to them, because it's the law of Christ. It's His law. It's not something we're coming up with. Bring His grace to them. Love them the way Christ loves you. And His biggest love manifestation is grace. One of them. He gave His life for us. And He did that in grace. 1 Peter 4:8 says, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. You ever wonder where that phrase comes from? That's 1 Peter 4:8. That's a quote from there. Keep fervent in your love for one another is the first part of it, because love covers a multitude of sins. That's amazing, right? Now, someone may be burdened because they brought the ache of sin on their own lives. You know people that are experiencing the pain of what they've done because they fell into sin. Well, your love move may be to confront them with their sin. Well, there's a right way to do it. Do it in grace. That's what we're talking about. But if you go to confront somebody who's in a sinful area, especially if they're going through the pain, they don't even have to be going through pain. They may be just not getting it yet. Don't go to condemn. Because if you're going to condemn, what you're going to them to do is wrong. See, you're going to wrong them. And so what that is that's love being an imposter. Love always has an end goal to see things get better. You know, there's a reason for what we do. Now, someone may have a financial burden or a legal burden or a health burden, any kind of burden. Your love can help them. But it's not that someone must actually have a burden. Do love things for him anyway. Forgive personal offenses. If you don't forgive personal offenses, you wrong people. You say, well, no, they wronged me. That's not what God's saying. They may have wronged you, but if you don't forgive personal offenses, you're wronging them. It's all about the highest standard, which is Christ. This is not checking off something in 613 rules. This is why we got to look beyond irritations. You know, God looks beyond his irritations with us when he sent Jesus to the cross. In fact, he sent Jesus to the cross because of our irritations. Sin. That's why he did it. I mean, you know what doing good means. You know what doing wrong means. Don't rip people off. Don't gossip about them. Don't lie to them. Don't belittle people. Don't turn your back on people. Don't treat them the way Jesus does not treat you. Treat them the way he does. Love is the debt that you must keep on paying. You are always owing others regard for them as being more important than yourself. You always owe not merely looking out for your own personal interests, but also for their interests. The Bible says this is the love attitude of Jesus. It's the shape of what he's saying is always do. Keep on giving love, knowing that you can never love too much, you can never love enough, and you can always love people more and more and more. Amen. Analyze. Be careful. Love does no wrong to people. So in a nutshell, love is the debt God wants you to keep on paying. It's not that owing nothing to anyone means that God doesn't want you to be in debt or like borrowing money for certain things. It's a contrast to paying a certain amount of taxes because they're expected to be paid as a demand from the authorities. And if you default, you get penalized. No, God wants you to owe love to everyone as if you're always paying each moment like you cannot give enough. Love is always due, so you're always, always, always paying. Keep giving love like you never think you're finished. Also, you're never called to come under a covenant jurisdiction that no longer exists. There are people all over our country and in our day. I know them. People in our congregation know people that still try to live according to the old covenant Mosaic law. Their lives are a horrible mess. They think they're finding freedom in that, and they're just bringing themselves under more bondage. You know, the illustration Paul's using here is that when you keep on loving with Christian love in the new covenant, you're fulfilling what was required of people of the old covenant all along, but also it's about not doing wrong, because he mentions the things that have to do with doing wrong. We're the fulfillers of that because Christ is the fulfiller of that in us. He just wants us to manifest him. And then we saw the shape that we molded into. This is love that does no wrong. This is love that keeps on forgiving. This is love that has grace on people who don't deserve it. You know, you reward somebody with something when they deserve it. They've done something to be rewarded. But failures and need of grace, that's just an empty cup. There's nothing to offer anybody to get grace from somebody. So what you're doing with your grace, it's not that you're giving somebody grace because now they're so pitiful, that's all they get. No, they have an empty cup, and you're coming along and you're filling it. That's all they have to offer is an empty cup. They don't have any reason to get it from you. But your reason is to give it, because this is the way it is with the love of Christ. Keep on forgiving. Keep on doing good for those who don't even have something about them that you like very much. Well, you like Jesus in them, right? Keep on looking at them with the eyes of Jesus. Always be paying love to them, but always think there's more to be paid as you keep seeking to do it. Amen.